That is so true. Amen. There is a scripture that says he sticketh closer than a brother. In the grace gospel, it is understood that he is more than with us.
Yes.
He is in us. You can't get any closer than that.
Hallelujah.
And we're in him.
Hallelujah.
We praise God this morning for his kindness and his love. And
yes,
those that are watching on our webcast, we say to you, we thank God for the prayers that going up for me in this year or more of that which God sent me through for testimony purposes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
My doctor has said that he is going to completely turn me loose to resume normal activities sometimes by the end of August. So based upon that, we have scheduled to be back before you ministering in September. But I don't think that we have lost anything on the way. The ministry here has certainly, in the morning service and in the Bible studies, certainly ministered to our heart. Haven't they ministered to our heart? Haven't they ministered to our heart?
Hallelujah.
Give God a praise.
Hallelujah.
So all of this was prearranged by God. This morning, Deacon Howard Gavin shall come before us with the gospel of the grace of God, that glorious message of revelation that God gave us. Amen. That is the grace church and the grace dispensation. Through revelation, through his faithful servant, the Apostle Paul. Amen. These truths are our directives. Amen. These are our marching orders. Let us at this time receive the messenger, but more important, the message. Amen. With very hearty, amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. We're certainly praising God for all his goodness and his precious and marvelous grace. I'm going to ask, ushers, did you pass a sheet out from a document that we'll be ministering in light of? Amen. Amen. We have been ministering for some time from the document, God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. Hallelujah. And we're going to let the Lord's Word speak unto us. We're going to lay aside, by God's enablement, preconceived notions and whatsoever we have acquired through physical understanding, and give credence to God's word. For Jesus said of those religionists of his day, he said that you make the word of God of none effect, that you may hold to your traditions or your teachings. Let us have a word of prayer. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, we again come to thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord, as we minister or are enabled to minister your word to your people. Those in our immediate presence, Lord, and those over our worldwide web broadcasts. We pray, Lord, great enlightenment, blessing, joy, peace, my God, unto all those whom thou hast so decreed it, your beloved. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Lead and guide your servant and speak to your people.
Hallelujah.
Your word, my God, in this the day of your grace, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, my soul has already been fed and ministered to through the reading of the pastor's pen. However, there's more that God has determined. We said we've been ministering from the document, And I want you to turn in with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And as usual, our usual manner is we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And our pastor, Pastor George Cutler, the pastor of this the Grace Gospel Church, this assembly, will stand in as our designated reader. But this is from a document that the Lord gave Pastor Cutler to write and put on paper. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Sovereignty means absolute right, the authority. Election means just that, choosing, selecting, selective choice. That's what election means. And that selective choice is to the salvation of the elect, those so chosen. God sovereignly, according to his absolutely right, elected, selected, picked out, marked out some to salvation. Now, I know that the things that we're saying now are greatly disdained in the church world, in Christendom. And I'm talking about God's people. The world cares not. So let me put this in another way. God's absolute right in having chosen some to salvation and not others. God's absolute right in having chosen some, picked out, selected, reserved some to eternal salvation and not others. Amen. Now let me go one step further. God's absolute right in having chosen in eternity who received his eternal salvation and who didn't. And also in eternity having chosen or determined who or which ones were accepted in the Beloved, his children, and who or which ones were rejected. Now, we were just reading in our programs, we were reading the responsive reading, and the scripture we were reading from said Esau was rejected, though he sought forgiveness or sought reconciliation carefully through tears. He was rejected. And in Paul's epistle of Romans, he writes, according to the Holy Spirit, Jacob have I loved, and Esau not have I loved less, but Esau have I hated. God, amen, created, called into existence those that were his and those that were not and could never be his. So, he picked out, he selected in the Beloved his children and who or which ones were rejected, that is not saved, not his beloved children, and were not placed in and accepted in the Beloved. God did that in eternity. Now, we are going to scripturally assess those statements. We're going to ask that Pastor Cutler ready himself to begin reading from Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. As a matter of fact, 1 through 7. And Pastor, as I usually do, please read verses 1 and 2 from the King James Version, And then we will continue verses 3 through 7 in the interlineal Greek text. The interlineal Greek text, we use it because it more accurately displays the intended meaning of the scriptures. It's taken from the older manuscripts. Amen. All right, so, but we don't stop there. We do what we call scriptural exegesis, taking into account the grammar, the context, not taking anything out of context to prove anything, but taking the context and the historical value of the Word of God. What covenant or dispensation God's truth was given. All of the Bible is true, but all of the Bible is to be dispensationally divided and served to God's elect in that particular dispensation. It would be out of kilter to tell Adam, come into a boat. Or to tell Noah, you may eat of every tree of a garden but one. Adam had his message unto him. Noah had his unto him. Israel had theirs unto them. And those of the kingdom, thy kingdom come, have a specific message tailored and assigned unto them. And we of the grace dispensation have a specific truth designated, designed, delivered via the Apostle Paul to the grace church, which is Christ's body, unto us. We are in the grace dispensation. Of the seven dispensations, we are now in the grace dispensation. And our truth is given unto us from the eternal heavenly's viewing. As all the others, as we are God's eternal heavenly people, as we'll see in verse 3 of Ephesians 1 and 3. All of the other covenants have their truth assigned to the eternal earthly abiding. All right. God's sovereignty in election. God's absolute right in election or choosing some to salvation and not others. Pastor Cutler, would you please begin reading at Ephesians 1 and 1. King James Version 1 and 2.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, mm-hmm. from the King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. by the will of God.
Will of God.
To the saints which are at Ephesus, mm-hmm. and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
The faithful in Christ. We are not faithful in ourselves. We are only faithful in our eternal abode in Christ. He is faithful, and we are in him. He's the head. We are his body. Read on, Pastor.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father.
Grace to you, because we are in the grace dispensation, and peace always, always from God our Father. As you've heard me say before, God is never out to get any of his beloved. Grace to us and peace from God our Father.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Now, let's see what else our Father has graced unto us. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 from the interlinear Greek text, Pastor.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 from the Greek interlinear.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning with verse 3, bless the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
The Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
The having blessed us.
The having already, as Pastor mentioned earlier, already blessed us is not going to be or going to happen. We are already having been blessed. And blessed with what, Pastor?
With every blessing spiritual.
Each and every blessing spiritual. Some of the things we desire in time, in physicality, in the flesh, we may get. But we'll only get it if God has predetermined. We may not. Paul wanted his infirmity in the flesh removed. Jesus Christ, in essence, told him, no, my grace is sufficient unto you. And the same thing to us. Some things God is going to give us. Some things he is going to take away from us. But it's all according to his will and his purpose for our life and walk. Mm-hmm.
Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies.
In the heavenlies.
In Christ.
In Christ. Our blessings are in the heavenlies in Christ. They are actually ours. In time, in physicality, things come and things go. Things may come in more abundance, and they may not come in such abundance. But we are having been blessed in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ. That is not manifesting in time. That has already been done in eternity. They are ours. When our consciences are caused to resonate out of physicality, we leave these bodies in consciousness. Amen. We resonate actually with that which is ours. Each and every blessing spiritual in Christ where we actually abide. Here, temporary. Temporary. Everything we're involved in around us, regarding us, here in time, temporary. But our blessings, our true blessings, are spiritual, as we are in our actual essence, spirit first, amen, and we were manifested in bodies. And our blessings in Christ are eternal. Read on, Pastor.
Verse 4, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
That's what subject matter of the document is, God's sovereignty in election. Election means choosing, choice, chose. As he chose us in him before time, before the creation or laying of the foundation of the world. We were chosen. Paul said that he chose us. Now, I'm going to make a differentiation between those pronouns, us. They, them, we, those. We're going to make a distinct differentiation between them. According as he chose us in him, not everyone, us, we were picked out selectively from the world. And this happened before time in eternity. All right, read on, Pastor.
Being holy
or separated
and unblemished before him.
And unblemished before him because we are actually our eternal essence. We are in Christ. There's no sin in Christ. We are blameless. Even now, being manifested in physicality, we have the righteousness of Christ, his imputed righteousness, which is perfect, imputed to our account. Our sins on him, all of them. And his perfect, spotless righteousness imputed or counted unto us. Amen. Therefore, we are blameless. So you don't know what I've done in life. Blameless. You don't know how low I've been. Blameless. Remember, we're going to give credence to God's word, rightly divided, not what we think or what we see before us manifesting. God's word said, we were chosen. Chosen, picked out, selected in him before creation. Before this, with all of its mess ups and shortcomings, we were chosen in him. And we are separated from those that are not and were not selectively chosen. and we're blameless. Blameless. In our actualized essence, we are blameless. Hallelujah. Read on, Pastor.
Verse 5, in love, predestining us.
In love, having predestinated us. You notice the prefix pre? It means before. Before what? Just like our choosing. Before time or the creation of the world. Before the stars. Before the solar system. Before the galaxies. Before we were predetermined or predesigned or predestinated beforehand. Appointed. Ordered. That we were his. Predestinated us unto what, Pastor?
To adoption of sons.
Sons.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
To everything. Him.
To him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him. We were predetermined unto the adoption of sons. Sonship positioning in our Lord Jesus Christ, where our actual, true essence and existence is. In time, in these bodies, temporary. In Christ, eternal. Reading, Pastor.
To the praise of the glory of him.
To the praise
of the grace of him.
Of the glory of the grace of him. Why we know it's unto his grace, his goodness, his kindness. Because it was done before we were able to do anything in flesh. Before the creation of the world. I'm only 2 times 3 plus 5. We're talking before the creation of the world. His grace was extended unto us. So it's not about getting saved. It's not about getting in God's grace. He has graced us in the beloved. What we are going through and all we are going through now is manifestational testimony, evidence of what God has determined for each of our individual lives. I thank God for giving me the knowledge lately. And remember, we are always in this, and this will flare up before you know it. I thank him for giving me the knowledge that whatever I've been facing of late, the Lord has caused me to know that it's according to him. We were you know what the destination is. The destination is where you're going or the route you predestinated or predetermined. Unto the adoption of sons, and all this to the praise of the glory of his grace, because it was done before we were around to exercise faith, do good works, receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, baptized with the mighty burning fire, shake the preacher's hand, repeat the sinner's prayer. We were chosen before we did any of that. Amen. In him. Amen. Being separated. Amen. From those that are not his. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein what, Pastor? He hath.
He favored us in having been loved.
He favored us. All of this is before time. Before time's creation. He favored us in the having been loved. We don't have to inch and squinch for the love of God. We have it.
Amen.
We have it.
Amen.
How do you think you get a sin nature in your flesh? You didn't put it there.
I hear you.
God sent it to our progenitor, Adam, and he being, amen, the first one for before all the ethnicities, when he sinned, it was transferred right down in that sin nature that God ordained in him. It came through every ethnicity and every son and daughter of Adam according to the flesh. But remember, we were chosen in him before Adam,
amen,
before the creation of the world, being holy or separated then, and blameless then. So what came about in time as testimony of what God purposed and wanted, the course that he had designed for us, did not eradicate what we were given eternally in grace in Christ Jesus. It did not. And may I go a step further. There's nothing right but righteousness. If we do wrong, we have sinned. We have done unrighteously. Praise God. But what we are led or caused to do according to the sin nature in the flesh does not negate who we actually are. It does not cancel out who we are.
I hear you.
Again, there's nothing right but righteousness. And if we do unrighteousness, the Lord is faithful. He will visit us. But as our Father, I got it from the scripture. He's our Father.
Amen.
He's able to correct us, to guide us, to identify with who we actually are. We are in Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our head. And we are caused to identify with him and his righteousness. We are caused to do that. This, if God does not overrule it, there's no end to what it may do. That is why you cannot look around and assess who's saved and who's not. Even if they take a weapon and take somebody out, you can't say it. Paul didn't have an Uzi, but he was persecuting Christians by the bagful and caused the many to be put to death. If they did not speak evil or denounce the name of Jesus, and that was put on record for us to know that if God saved the chief of sinners, we eschew in. But it's all according to grace. His record was put in there that we don't despair because of this sin nature leading us awry and identifying with the world. But we are who we actually are. We are not of the world, and we are not even of this flesh. If we were, pity on us. It's temporary. It's short. It's vain. It just don't last. And it's against God. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 7, Pastor.
Verse 7. In whom we have the redemption through the blood of him.
In whom we have the redemption, the release, the payment of a ransom. We were bought back from the penalty of sin. We are justified. We bear Christ's righteousness.
The forgiveness of trespasses.
Y'all hear that? We have the forgiveness of trespasses, sins, wrongdoings. We have it. Thanks be to God. It's been grace to us. And what else, Pastor?
According to the riches of the grace of him.
All this is according to the riches of the grace of him. Let me say one more time. There's nothing right but righteousness. But we of ourselves could not please God by walking righteously to save nobody. All sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin is a constant companion in this flesh, day in and day out. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans again. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do good, evil is present with me. I'm reading from the document that you have. I'm going to begin, praise God, at verse, I'm going to begin at the third paragraph from the bottom, where it says the last phrase of verse 6, third paragraph from the bottom. The last phrase, this verse 6, translated, which freely he freely gave us in the beloved, may also be rendered, which he graced to us in the beloved. We have preferred the rendering freely gave as exacted from the Greek word, which is the verb form of the noun kardis, which is grace, God's grace. But for literal consistency, we have opted to use the lesser known verb graced, as it denotes that which God graces or gives. You don't get this. It's given or gives to the elect, not the world. According to this promise, the thought conveyance would be that God grace his glorious grace unto us in the beloved. Note the Greek word translated beloved is a participle, which is a verbal adjective, which is in the perfect tense, completed action in the past with continuous results. And the passive voice, indicative of something one receives, not get. The implication is that from eternity's past, Jesus has and continues to be the beloved one. It is striking that in this verse, we note this adjectival description applied to Jesus Christ, but in three other verses of Scripture, it is applied to believers or to the elect. One of those scriptures, first the three, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, of which we dealt with, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, which we dealt with, and today 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 in particular, but I want to take the context. Oh, what a remarkable example as we continually praise God for his glorious grace. He has grace to us through imputation, or that being counted to us, Christ's righteousness, or of the merit of Jesus Christ, which in turn has made it possible for us to also become beloved ones. And that was all done in eternity. We are not trying to get in the beloved, which in turn has made, from the exegesis or proper translation and interpretation of these verses as well as others, we believe that they provide undeniable evidential documentation that the total work of salvation was initiated, implemented, and culminated in eternity, in a period when God was alone. Thus, we believe that it is impossible to apportion any contribution of these glorious decrees and acts to anyone going through any exercise, Mona's bench, tarrying, shaking the preacher's hand, repeating the sinner's prayer, to anyone outside of God. Let us look at further evidence that God saved some. His salvation was unto some, not all. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1. We are saved. We are having been saved, and nothing can change that. Nothing. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to ask Pastor to read from the interlinear Greek text, but I want you to follow along in the King James or whatever version you have. It will be somewhat similar. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. We are showing undeniable proof, scriptural proof, that only some are chosen and all were not, or others were not. Pastor, would you begin reading from the interlinear Greek text?
Reading from 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse
1.
Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren.
Now we beseech you or request you, brethren.
By the coming of our Lord, now we request you, brethren, by the presence of the Lord.
By the presence of the Lord.
Of us. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Of us gathering together to him.
And of us gathering together unto him. Now, what happened, the second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul had mentioned and spoken to them about the coming day of judgment or the day of the Lord. And they were in limbo regarding whether they had missed the coming of the Lord. And so when he used the term that the day of the Lord will be as a thief in the night, they mistakenly thought that it was imminent, or in other words, it was imminent or about to happen. But what Paul was speaking of is that it would be in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, but not that the Lord was coming right away. And therefore, they had stopped working. They were afraid that they had missed the rapture, and they were wondering about some of those that had already died. Would they miss being with Christ or going back with him? So Paul wrote the second Thessalonian letter to allay their fears. Amen. All right, read, Pastor. Verse 2.
Continue from verse 1. And of us gathering together to him.
To him,
not quickly.
To be shaken. To be shaken.
You from the man. Nor to be disturbed. Neither through a spirit, nor through speech, nor. Through an epistle as though us, as that it is come.
That is come.
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord. Don't you be disturbed by letter or word from us as that the day of the Lord has come. Amen. And you might have been missed. All right. Verse 3, Pastor.
Verse 3. Not anyone you may deceive.
Not anyone you may deceive.
By no way.
In or by no way. God would not have us, his beloved, deceived by no way.
Because unless comes the apostasy.
Firstly, and is revealed, that's an error subjunctive,
The man of lawlessness. The son of perdition. The setting against and exalting himself over everything being called God.
An object of worship.
So as him in the shrine of God. To sit showing himself. That he is a God.
Now, the day of the Lord will not come except there be an apostasy or a falling away. Now, I've heard that there is statistical information about the church attendance throughout the land. The United States, at least, is down. People are not going to church like they used to. We can't assign or judge them that do not that they are not the people of God. God is able to cause us to move and to cause us to hold. But accepting there come an apostasy, the man of sin will not and cannot be revealed. All of this is in the aorist tense. It has already been done. Now, let me give you information about the word apostasy. It means, it's from apo, which means from, and histamai means to place or stand. To place or stand from. Meaning that a person does not depart from where he is to go or to somewhere else, but stays away, having chosen, amen, from the beginning to stay away. And we know that that is of God, because all of these things are in the aorist tense. And the aorist tense is a completed action in eternity. The only place a thing is completed is in God's eternal decree in eternity. And the man of sin being revealed is in the passive voice. Eternal decree and the passive voice. His revealing will not be of him. It will be according to God, like everything else in creation and in our personal lives. It is according to God. Read on, Pastor.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You being that yet being with you,
mm-hmm.
these things
mm-hmm.
I used to tell you,
mm-hmm.
and now the restraining you know,
for thee to be revealed him, the one of lawlessness, the man of lawlessness,
in the of him time,
Paul is telling them. Is not necessarily imminent, about to happen, but God has determined the time of the lawless one to be revealed. God has done that. All right, read on, Pastor.
Verse 7, for the mystery already operates.
The mystery of iniquity already operates.
Of lawlessness.
We are living in the present evil age. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so in the great scriptures. And look like now evil is on steroids. From us that are senior or older, it looks like it's on steroids.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Read on, Pastor.
Only the restraining. Just now until out of the midst it comes.
Until out of the midst it comes. Uh-huh. The restraining is of God. And verse 8.
And then will be revealed the lawless one.
Future indicative. It already is by God's decree. Indicative means a fact. A fact is a thing that's done. And it's in the passive voice. Will be revealed. It's already to be revealed, but it has not manifested. It has been actualized by God's decree. God's decree is what makes a thing real. Manifestation is what's shown to us when it shows up. And it's the passive voice. God is in control of everything.
Amen.
Nothing is happening and nobody is doing stuff out of themselves.
Amen.
Passive voice means it's done to you.
Amen.
God is doing that. Him being revealed is according to God. Passive voice. Read, Pastor.
Whom the Lord Jesus will destroy by the Spirit. Spirit of the mouth.
Who the Lord Jesus will destroy. Again, future indicative. It's already done. It just hasn't manifested. Read, Pastor.
And will bring to nothing the outshining of the presence of him.
And will bring to nothing by the outshining of Christ. Christ is the preeminent one above all and everything. The visible and the invisible. Read.
Verse 9. Of whom is the presence according to operation
meaning
of Satan.
The lawless one, of whom is the presence according to the operation of Satan,
with all power and signs and wonders of a lie.
Verse 10.
and with all deceit of unrighteousness.
Of the man of sin, whom we call the Antichrist.
In the perishing.
And with all deceit of unrighteousness in the perishing. Now let me bring this out. Them that follow him or are caused to follow him, because we have the present tense and the passive voice here. Passive voice is done to you. Active voice, you're doing it. The perishing are not perishing of themselves. It is the passive voice here. Enoch was not rejected of, was it Enoch? Jacob's brother was not rejected of himself. God did that. We were chosen in him. We did not get in him of ourselves. God chose us. The passive voice in the perishing. Because what, Pastor?
Because the love of the truth they received not.
Because the love of the truth they received not. That didn't just happen. That's the aorist tense. They didn't receive it because God didn't decree it. The active voice. Remember, us, them, or they. Us the elect, they the non-elect. They perish because they are not his beloved. They did not receive the love of the truth because it was so decreed of God. Aorist tense, the scriptures bear it out. For what, Pastor?
They receive not for to be saved them.
For to be saved them, not us. Read, Pastor.
And therefore sends
and
to
therefore
them.
And therefore sends to them.
God an operation of
God arrow. God sends to them an operation of what?
Of error.
Of error. God sends to the non-elect an operation of error. Mm-hmm.
For thee to believe them the lie.
For to believe them, or for them to believe the lie that the Antichrist is putting down. I used to pray, Lord, don't let me take the mark of the beast. But I didn't know the scriptures.
I hear you.
It is unto them,
Amen.
Not unto us.
Amen.
We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Being separated. Separated from what? Them. Hallelujah. Verse 12, Pastor.
Verse 12, and all of that
in
may
order
be judged.
That to be judged or may having been judged. It's already happened. It's in the passive voice. Uh-huh.
The not having believed.
All the not having believed. Aorist tense. Completed action. Those not believing were decreed not to believe. Us believing, it was decreed unto us to believe. Aorist tense. Uh-huh. Finish
having believed the truth, but having had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Having, not having believed the truth. The truth is in Jesus. Not having believe the truth. Aorist tense. God determined that regarding them. But having pleasure in unrighteousness, them. Praise God. Yes, we have done according to the flesh, but that's not who we are. God calls us out. Praise God, and reveal himself unto us that we don't perish with them. And verse 13, I'll take it here, Pastor. Verse 13, you have seen the workings of God regarding them. But here Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but that is what we call, I said it loud, because it's a superordinating conjunction. A conjunction, but this is a superordinating conjunction. for God to show contrast. Them believing the lie, them not receiving the truth. Paul said, but we, us, ought to thank God always concerning you brothers. That's what he writes. Having, what was just read in Ephesians 1 and 6, or 7, having been loved, having been in our love, but, yes, them, but we give thanks to God always for you brothers having been and are loved by the Lord. And here it comes again. I'm not going to argue with anyone regarding God choosing us or us getting saved. I'll put God's word forth and the Lord have to enlighten the mind of the brother or the sister. But a difference has been placed between us and them. The Lord, because chose you from the beginning. God chose us from the beginning, first fruit. Now let me explain first fruit briefly. In Israel, the first of their crops when they planted, the first of their animals, they had to dedicate unto the Lord. They couldn't wait down the road and sop up and eat up and everything. They had to dedicate the first unto the Lord. That was the primary, showing thankfulness unto God for that he hath given. We were chosen first fruit. Our position is in the body of Christ. We are members of him. We are not waiting on a new Jerusalem, glorious as it is. But the glory we have excels everything and anything that God gives to his eternal elect in the earth. We are members of Christ's own body. First fruit, chosen us first fruit. God did that to salvation. By sanctification of spirit, separating us by the blessed spirit. And faith, he did it by faith, or causing us to believe on Christ. Faith in the truth. God sent them a delusion to believe the lie. But he chose us, first fruit, to salvation by sanctification of spirit and faith of the truth. You don't get saved, saints of God, irregardless of what's done. God determined that for you to go through whatever exercise, mourner's bench, tarrying, speaking in tongues, shaking the preacher's hand, walking down. God determined that. But like Paul said to those kingdom saints in the book of Hebrews, moving on through enlightenment, he chose us in him. If he hadn't chosen you in eternity in him, you could have tarried two lifetimes or a billion lifetimes. You would never belong to him. You could have mourned on the mourning bench over yours and all your kinfolk's sins. You would never have received, amen, salvation according to Christ. God led the saints through those things when the knowledge was lacking. But he said, we were chosen in him before. The foundation of the world, and certainly before we came on the scene or were assigned bodies to do anything, exercise faith, mourn, tarry, shake, repeat, before anything. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And we're going to give the word of God, rightly divided and properly exegeted. And we'll leave God's word with whomsoever. God's word, as opposed to denominational dogma or doctrine or belief. We go with God's word, rightly divided, properly exegeted, and in the right dispensation and in the right contract. Ours, the grace gospel, the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God, and our covenant or contract or testament, all mean the same thing, covenant, contract, testament, is of grace. God bless you. Amen. If you are here today, we say,